Good morning. It's so good to be here. This past summer, my wife Joni and I got new names. We became grandparents. So you get a grandparent name when you become a grandparent. And so Joni and I are now affectionately known as Honey and Bear. And I've got to tell you that being Bear to my grandson Bennett is just about the best thing that's ever happened to me. Just love that little guy. He's God's grace to me. Anytime I get to be with him, there's so many moments that I get to share with him that it's hard to pick a favorite, but I'm going to tell you that one of the best is when I get to read stories with Bennett. He's just little. He's only 9.5 months right now, but when Joni and I kind of got past that toddler phase with our girls, we took all the board books that we owned that we would read on a regular basis, and we packed them up and we saved them. They went into a cedar chest at our house. And when Bennett was born, it's like, hey, those are coming back out. And it's like getting together with an old friend. We get to go through and read these stories once again, but now with our new little guy. Stories like, brown bear, what do you see? I see a red bird looking at me. Red bird, what do you see? I see a yellow duck looking at me. Or goodnight moon, in the great green room, there was a telephone and a red balloon and a picture of the cow jumping over the moon. And then there's the one that I can already tell is Bennett's favorite, just by the way he lights up and engages when we read it. Chicka, chicka, boom, boom. Right? A told B and B told C, I'll meet you at the top of the coconut tree. We said D to E, F, G, I'll beat you to the top of the coconut tree. Chicka, chicka, boom, boom. Will there be enough room? All at the top of the coconut tree. I can do more if you want. Bennett has already accumulated quite a library of books to be such a small guy. And there's like a whole genre section that I would call love stories. And these are in particular my favorite ones to get to read with Bennett. I remember reading stories like The Runaway Bunny, or Guess How Much I Love You, or I'll Love You Forever. If you know, you know, right? And I would pray when I would read those stories to my girls. And I prayed, God, to help them know how much they are loved, not just by me, but by you. And so to get to read those again now, well, it's amazing. Now, there's one more love story, and I would call this the greatest love story of all. And in particular, I love getting to read it to Bennett. And this story, it doesn't start with once upon a time. This story says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What an amazing story. I read it, and I pray that Bennett starts to grasp, even at a young and tender age, just how much our God loves him. And I think to myself, what a powerful story. This isn't just any story. It's not make-believe. This is the best love story of all time. And then you have to think, well, who wrote that? John wrote those words, and John's an interesting guy. John and his brother James were two of Jesus' disciples, and the thing I find comforting about the two of them is they were not the most likely to be chosen. Right? They were so brash and bold and loud, and well, Jesus gave them a nickname. Jesus called them, are you ready for this? Sons of Thunder. Now that's a cool nickname, right? To be able to call sons of thunder. But then you have to ask, why did Jesus call them sons of thunder. And I think there's a pretty good clue for us in one experience where Jesus and the disciples were not welcomed into a Samaritan village. As a matter of fact, they were rebuffed and rejected and pushed back. And John's response in that moment, and I quote, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" In other words, "Jesus, why don't you just zap them dead right now in the middle of the street and they'll never do that again? We won't have these problems anymore." That was John. That's who he was. Not exactly gentle, nor polished, rough around the edges, and yet Jesus loved John. You see, over time, John learned what it meant to walk with Jesus. John was there when Jesus instructed them and said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And over a process of time, John figured out what it was to abide with Jesus, to remain in him. And somewhere along the way, through that process, John was transformed. John was no longer referred to as John, son of thunder. He wasn't John the hothead or John the screw up or John the disappointment. All of a sudden, John gets a new name. You know what it is? John refers to himself as the one Jesus loved. The one Jesus loved. That becomes his new identity. And he doesn't just refer to himself that way once or twice. He does it five different times in John's gospel account. This is a very personal love story for John. It became his identity, and it's the greatest love story of all time that God would love broken people like John, that God loves broken people like you and me. And that's what I want you to hear today. That's what I want you to feel, and that's what I want you to believe at the very core of your building, that Jesus loves you. Now, I realize I'm speaking to a room full of seminary students, faculty, staff, board of trustees members. So it's probably not exactly a new revelation for me to stand in front of you today and say, Jesus loves you. But here's what I also know. Seminary can be hard and challenging. Teaching can be difficult. Right? Ministry can be a beatdown sometimes. And I'm here today because I believe that God wants me to remind you, you are the one Jesus loves. That you might have that somewhere in the back of your mind bouncing around somewhere, but I believe that God would desire for that to come to the forefront of your very thinking. That you would be reminded of just how much our God loves you. And I would tell you that he's right here, right now, in this moment, doing exactly that, loving you. As a matter of fact, here's what I'd like to do. If we could just hit the pause button for one moment, would you indulge me and would you close your eyes? And then would you say out loud, I am the one Jesus loves. I am the one Jesus loves. Let's say it one more time for good measure. I am the one Jesus loves. You can open your eyes. That is your identity. You. Yes, you. You are the one Jesus loves. And if you will abide in him, if you will remain in him, if you will allow him to be your source, he will sustain you and he will transform you. You don't have to be known by any of the old labels that have been attached to you over time. You simply get to live in your new identity, your new name, the one Jesus loves. Now, Bennett's got another book. Actually, this one belonged to his mom and his Aunt Maddie. And I have a feeling you already know the text of this book as well. Really, it's not so much a book as it is a song. And so if you know it, let's sing it together. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Father God, I pray that here and now in this moment, that we would all live in the identity of being loved by you. And may that transform us. May it help us to know your heart, to know your voice, and help us to follow you faithfully. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We pray, we ask all of this in your name. Amen.